This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
17th of May is Ida Hobbit. Ida Hobbit isn't something out of Middle Earth or Lord of the Rings. It's the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersexism and Transphobia. It's a day to celebrate with our lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex and queer communities. It's a day to acknowledge their contribution, and it's a day to look forward as to what still needs to be done for us to reach a society where same-sex attracted and gender-diverse people are truly recognised and acknowledged as being equal members of our society.
It's Thursday the 17th of May. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Dean Curie.
And I'm Tom Morgan. That was Senator Janet Rice in the Senate this week speaking about today, which is Ida Hobbit Day around the world. Ida Hobbit is the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersexism and Transphobia.
We can sometimes live in a bubble within our own communities, which can mean a day like today can seem fun or a great celebration for some, while for others it can mean something completely different. And tonight we're looking at what this kind of visibility means for our communities and our allies.
As we explore what Ida Hobbit actually means to members of our LGBTIQA families.
We also hear from Michelle Shepherd from Joy's Trans POV when she spoke earlier today at the Victorian Police event about being better allies to one another.
And we look to our own backyard and look at how we can respect each other past the acronyms.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Do you know what Ida Hobbit means?
Nope.
You don't know what Ida Hobbit means?
I do, but I don't know the acronym.
Do you know what Ida Hobbit means?
No.
What do you think it means?
I've seen it on a sign in Melton.
I know it's like something that the Commonwealth Bank promote.
Do you know what Ida Hobbit means?
No, I've never heard of it.
Do you know what Ida Hobbit means?
Yes.
What does it mean?
International Day of, I can't ever get it right, homophobia, something phobia, biphobia, inter...
So what letters did you miss?
All of them. It's a complicated
one. That's a hell of an acronym.
Do you know what Ida Hobbit means?
I thought it was pancake related, but I think I'm wrong.
Actually, no idea, to be honest with you. I mean, hobbits, maybe. Hobbits, maybe? Lord of the Rings? No, not at all, honestly.
Yeah, Idaho Day, yeah. So it started off as Idaho, and it's been around for quite a while, and then it became all the other bits, and that's been around for a couple of years. I've always known it as Idaho Day, because it was Idaho Day for a long time before it was called anything else.
Intersexism gives me every time. It was added at the, like, a later date, and so I remember the original version, and it's that one that trips me up, because it's an ism, not a phobia, even though they are fluid terms that mean the same thing.
That's a lot of acronyms. I had heard of that. I had heard of that, but I didn't know what the acronym fully stood for.
For a long time in Germany, May 17 had been unofficially labelled as a sort of gay day. Written in the date format 17.5, it had a natural affinity with Penal Code 175, the rule dealing with homosexuals who are called 175ers. In 2004, the concept of having May 17th mean something more was thrown around after a year-long campaign culminating in the first International Day Against Homophobia in 2005. Idaho was born. An International Day Against Homophobia, and organisations around the world signed an appeal to support the Idaho initiative. But over time, we needed to acknowledge that the term homophobia didn't fill in the diverse mould that encapsulated other parts of our communities, and created stigma and erasure for those marginalised. So in 2009, transphobia was added to the name of the campaign, which evolved into IdaHot. That year's primary focus worldwide was the transphobia many experienced, and on the eve of May 17, 2009, France became the first country in the world to officially remove transgender issues from a list of mental illnesses. And, as with many movements within our communities, biphobia and intersexism were soon added, and we now have the acronym IdaHobbit on May 17th. While it's our diversity that makes our community stronger, on a day like today, it is so important to acknowledge those marginalised in our communities that are often left behind. Today is more than just about having rainbow cake in the office or putting up a rainbow flag. It's a day of learning, a day to understand, a day to listen, and a day to acknowledge.
My workplace is. They're throwing on, as they call it, a celebration in link with the mental health part of the hospital, because homosexuality is obviously a mental health problem. So I think they've gone about it the wrong way. And all the people they've invited to this so-called party where they're offering rainbow cake is essentially no one that's gay. And I'm terribly not impressed, because obviously the workforce doesn't actually know who their homosexual workbase is and how to go about something in a respectful manner. The way other people deal with clients and patients that happen to identify as LGBTI, whatever they come under, people are very phobic. They just aren't exposed to it. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know medical management of a lot of these issues.
I haven't heard of the day, no, but I think they help quite a lot, and I think they're absolutely needed. Like, I'm doing a certificate in youth work, and this isn't something we really talk about, which honestly quite upsets me, because they'll talk about just a numerous amount of things, you know, like Islamophobia, homelessness, and it's never brought up. The whole point is, like, we're meant to be like, what does a community need? Let's do a project on that. And not a single person has brought up transphobia, homophobia, biphobia, nothing like that. I think it's very important.
I've only ever seen it on the internet referring to America. I didn't realize it was global. Oh, it was Idaho originally, wasn't it? Yeah. I think with a lot of how we use language, especially in queer spaces, is very much like, it's like a multiple choice marking thing, because since language is such a easy thing to mark, we often quibble over it a lot. Even though it is really important and it does shape the way people think, I think we maybe emphasise that more than the kind of critical thinking and structural things that underlie it, because it is just easy to police rather than actually being maybe the hill we need to die on. But that isn't to allied that there aren't really important issues around how we use language and stuff like that. Because it started as a very local thing, I think, that was specific to a certain place. And it made sense as a pun for that particular place. That's the very surface detail I know of the event.
I think there's some awareness, but it really depends who you're talking to and what section of society. I mean, I think younger people, I think, maybe have a better idea in the broader community, but as you go into older generations and maybe more isolated communities in rural areas, for example, maybe there's more need for an expansion of awareness in those areas.
They never had any of that in Queensland, not on the Gold Coast. I think because Victoria is so much a lot more accepting about that kind of stuff, and Sydney to some degree. But beyond that, the rest of Australia isn't really.
I know that my niece just ballooned the Faulkner Police Station for it. Rainbow ballooned the Faulkner Police Station wall for it. She basically did it to represent equality and, the fact that she's part of the community and she's only just about to go into high school. You know, it was really important to her that her primary school did that. And it was good representation for her, and she made sure that she was one of the people in her school that went and did that, because only 30 students, I think, or 60 students got to go out and do it. So
it's tricky. I think, well, at least in my workplace, we don't have any non-binary person or transgender person, right? So, I mean, as a cisgender person, but also queer, I feel I have the impression that it would be a welcoming place for them, but also, like, as I said, I'm cisgender and can't really, like, assess that in a proper way. But I know it is an issue in other places, so I'm quite privileged to be working in academia. But even in academia, it happens. I know, for instance, in other STEM areas, like engineering is still a thing. But I think the main issue is, like, visibility. Sometimes it's like you feel like you're the only one there, you're the only queer person there.
Ida Hobbit is a day which mobilises communities to raise awareness of the violence, discrimination and repression of LGBTI communities around the world. It also gives these communities an opportunity to stand up and take action, engaging on a bigger level with the wider society of what it means to be an ally to our communities and to reach out to those in need of greater support. This is a global movement, which is acknowledged in over 130 countries, including 37 countries where same-sex acts are still illegal and members of the LGBTIQ community face acts of violence, discrimination and hostility. Sure, it's a day to celebrate how far we've come, but there is still a lot more work to do, not just here at home, but around the rest of the world as well.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
One of the important things to do on a day like Ida Hobbit is to acknowledge different conversations that we need to hear, not only from other parts of our communities, but with our allies as well. Michelle Shepherd from Trans POV is no stranger to talking very openly about her life as a transgender woman, constantly communicating to allies the realities of what it's like when people see you differently.
Tonight on the show, we head to Footscray Police Station, where Michelle was asked to speak after she shared her story with another officer about what it's like being a parent and a father to her children. It's something that many of the officers at the Ida Hobbit event could relate to, being a parent themselves. And as the trains travels past, they got to hear a story from a member of the trans community that is just like what they go through with their children as well.
So my messages today to everyone is around storytelling. It's something we don't do very often. We don't actually go and tell many of our stories. We're raised from a young age of to speak and speak. And it's, say mommy,
daddy.
No, say mommy. And the ongoing stories around how, like my daughters, for example, being in the back seat and not listening. But listening at the wrong times, like we often do as adults. And my ex-wife sitting there driving, yelling at somebody, call them an effing kid or whatever. And then my daughter in the back seat going, no, we don't say that. Not for grandma especially. And so all the times we don't listen appropriately. And the thing is, we need to sit down and we need to listen to one another a lot more. I may appear different to many of you, but to many of you, I'm actually a father like many of you. I've dealt with my own levels of depression. I've dealt with my own levels of anxiety. I've dealt with divorce. I've dealt with all those things. So I can actually connect with many of you on a very similar level that you wouldn't realize. We worry so much about how different each one of us are and how we fear each other because you're different than me. But really, we're very much the same. And my message of today around being an ally is not just around being straight versus gay or straight versus LGBTIQ. The message goes out to all of us, that each one of us needs to be a better ally to each other, gay to trans, to lesbian to queer. We need to be better allies to each other as well, not just gay versus straight. And that's what's most important today, that each one of us walks away and says, hey, you know what, I need to sit down, have a cup of coffee, have a conversation, you know. My big thing is around, you know, being a dad and walking around and seeing my two daughters, and like two little ducklings, you know. And one of my favorite stories I always tell people is how my kids listen. Ever since they were little, they listen. And they've learned to understand and respect everyone for how different they are. So my kids when they were little, like 4 and 8 and whatever, now they're like 12 and 8 now. But we'd be going through the Kohl's shopping center. And the lady would come up and said, Mom, can the girls have some ice cream? And my youngest would be like, and I'm like, roll with it. And yeah. Get some free ice cream. And when we're done, she's always going, thanks, Mom. And one of the other ones is, going into the toilets. And so I got two little girls, so we go into the toilets, and I turn around, and they're right behind me, and I go, what don't we say? We don't say daddy. That's right, we just say daddy. You ready to go in the toilets before you go in? What don't we say?
We don't say daddy.
That's right. So I go in, I go to sit down. Dad! I have to go and get up and deal with this. So ladies, if you ever hear daddy in the toilet, it's probably me. I apologize now. But I got two little ones, and I got to deal with that. But at the end of the day, the kids listen. The kids can accept. Kids understand. You should explain to them. The worst ones all I've had to go and say to my child, who's very aware of the world around her. She's 8 years old and standing on the bench in my bathroom, my kitchen. And she goes, Dad, she goes, why do people hate you? And I had this moment of going, I gotta break the news to my youngest about how the world actually operates. And I said, baby, I said, the world is just different. I said, people don't understand different. I said, what we need to do is just have a conversation and let them understand. I said, you do a great job. She goes, yeah, is this why you do radio and why you speak to people? And I said, yeah. She goes, why can't they just say that I love you and that you're my daddy and that you're happy as a girl? And I go, baby, that's just take time. So the message I'll leave with you today as an ally, whether you're gay, straight, lesbian, bi, trans, queer, a partridge in a pear tree, just love each other. Learn to sit down, have a cup of coffee, and learn to listen to one another. Because you're not much different than the person standing next to you right now today.
Amazing.
That was Michelle Shepherd speaking earlier today at Footscray Police Station at the Ida Hobbit lunch.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
No matter how you identify, whether it's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, genderqueer, asexual, whatever your label and however you express yourself, you're always asked stupid questions by people. And sometimes you laugh it off and give an honest answer. Other times you bite your tongue, and sometimes you just get over it because there's no reason to be asked a stupid question if they took some time to stop and think about the person they're asking it to. Rachel Taylor-Jones explores what not to ask when talking to members of the LGBTIQA communities.
In April this year, Brisbane Uber driver Subi Gameda was fined $300 after asking his 25-year-old female passenger how she had sex. The question came after Gameda questioned the girl on whether she was married, and she told him that she was a lesbian. He was initially convicted on deprivation of liberty charges, but without enough evidence to prove the allegation that he had detained the woman for over an hour, he was finally charged under public nuisance laws for his invasive personal question. Whether it's driven by bigotry or coming from a place of ignorance, most people in the LGBTIQA+ community have been asked inappropriate questions over and over again. So, in the name of public education, we are dedicating the next 60 seconds of our broadcast to recap the topic of what not to ask. From the top. Do not ask a lesbian.
So, how do you two have sex?
The inclusion of a penis is not a requirement for satisfying, gratifying sex. If you think it is, you're probably doing it wrong. Do not ask a gay man.
Do you wear women's underwear?
Being gay means you're attracted to men, not that you secretly want to wear uncomfortable frilly knickers. Some gay people cross-dress and some straight people cross-dress, and that's cool, but you don't need to ask about it. Do not ask a bisexual person.
Which do you prefer, really?
Some bis are in relationships that look heterosexual, some are in relationships that look queer, some are happily single, some are looking for love, but they're all still bi. Do not ask a trans person about what's in their pants. Unless you're bumping uglies with a person, their junk is none of your business. Do not ask an intersex person.
What does intersex mean?
Instead, take it upon yourself to do a little research. That's what Google's for. Do not ask a genderqueer person.
Why can't you just use normal pronouns?
If you feel inconvenienced by being asked to remember a person's pronouns, imagine how inconvenienced they feel about having to have this conversation again. Do not ask an asexual person.
Are you sure you just haven't found the right person yet?
Yep, they're sure, and no, you can't volunteer. If you are faced with an LGBTIQA plus person and you think you've got a really clever, original question about their body, their sexuality, their gender, or their underwear, consider whether you'd be comfortable asking your grandma the same question. If she'd think it was inappropriate or rude, chances are, so will the person you're about to insult. This explainer will be available as a podcast episode of The Informer. Why not head to your favourite podcast platform and download it to your phone so you have it on hand to play back to nosy Uber drivers, inappropriate relatives, or anyone else who needs educating on what not to ask?
How long have you been gay for? When did you find out? When did you come out? Not all of us come out, so I didn't really need to come out. I was just me and then just confirmed that I was to people.
So, like, people asking me, so do you like the penis or do you like the vagina? Like, what do you like? I just like the person.
How long have you realised you were, or because it's kind of innate, it's sort of a part of your self-actualisation. It's always been a part of you. So it wasn't just like you clicked on. Anything to do with people transitioning and anything that you wouldn't really want to be asked about yourself? So anything related to genitalia? They're still a person. They want to be called by their new identity, their confirmed identity. You don't need to know what's happening between their legs because they have a brain, they have a heart, and hopefully they have a personality as well.
Look, it really comes down to understanding the trans person themselves. You need to really understand the person delivering the message you're trying to get. For me, I'm very open to all kinds of things, but each question is very triggering to each person, so it really developed that relationship with them. Keep it professional. Until then, you wouldn't ask things like, you know, do you have genitals that are matching whatever. I said, but at the end of the day, it's you have to choose your audience, and people might not agree with that, but that's how I operate.
Which one of you is the boy in the relationship? Which one of you wears the pants in the relationship?
What's amyl? Does it hurt?
I think for intersex people, what bits do you have?
Yeah.
What's going on down there? Why are you different? What's in your pants? It's not anyone's business.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Here's some facts for you before we go. 75% of LGBTIQ youth experience some form of discrimination. 61% of LGBTIQ youth experience verbal abuse. 19% of LGBTIQ youth experience verbal abuse and bullying. 25% of LGB people experience depression. 36% of trans Australians experience depression. That's compared to 6.8% of the heterosexual population who experience depression. And our intersex population are still fighting even today to be recognised, acknowledged and protected. That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you the news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities.
A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media, at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter.
If you've got a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Dean Arcurie.
And I'm Tom Morgan.
And closing the show tonight, we head to Federation Square for Melbourne's Ida Hobbit celebrations that are running until 9 p.m. tonight with diverse artists, speakers and celebrations filled with pride. Here's Mama Alto, Greens Senator Janet Rice and Victoria's Gender and Sexuality Commissioner Rowena Allen.
Australia and the world.
acronyms, you can't pick your acronyms. It's not the most fabulous acronym in the world, and as our alphabet gets longer, I'm sure this will get longer as well. But just know that this is happening here today, but all over Australia and all over the world, there are many, many countries that celebrate Ida Hobbit, including countries where it's still legal to be homosexual. So today in Ida Hobbit, it's a chance to look back. It's probably the day I eat more rainbow cupcake than I need to. And it's a day to celebrate how far we've come, but it's also to remember that until every letter of the alphabet is celebrated, included, and absolutely visible, we've still got more work to do. Happy Ida Hobbit, everyone. Have a great night.
Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.